You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
Paddy is a Dublin man. His brogue no one can understand. It's been a while since he left his Green Isle. He's as Irish as they come. Sometimes when Paddy's in the mood, when the Celt within him fires his blood, he'll drink some drams and sing a few songs and dream of home. Paddy's singing well tonight, head thrown back and eyes closed tight. He sings his songs of Ireland far away, and how he's going back to Dublin one fine day. But Paddy sings a fading song. He knows he never can go home. A stranger there, an exile here, he lives somewhere in between. The island of his heart's recall, that ever did exist at all, now only lives and wistfully moves through Paddy's dream. Paddy's singing well tonight, head thrown back and eyes closed tight. He sings his songs of Ireland far away, and how he's going back to Dublin one fine day. Ever did exist at all, now only lives and wistfully moves through Paddy's dream. Paddy's singing well tonight, head thrown back and eyes closed tight. He sings his songs of Ireland far away, and how he's going back to Dublin one fine day, and how he's going back to Dublin one fine day.
Paddy sings a fading song. He knows he can never go home. A stranger there and an exile here. He lives somewhere in between. Eric Bogle, the lyrics, and John Munro, the music. Eric Bogle is a national treasure, and he has been on the scene for a long, long time. He was awarded a Peace Medal from the UN for his efforts to promote peace and racial harmony through his music. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon, David.
Thank you very much for coming on air.
My pleasure.
You awarded the Peace Medal from the UN. Do you think Donald Trump could get one?
If I had, I would have kicked his head. No, that medal I accepted on behalf of many, many people who have done more for the cause of peace and harmony than I have. It's the usual medal ceremonies. They pick a figurehead and pin a medal on it. But it really represents the efforts of many, many other people. I've still got it in my office and I've still got a wee sense of pride looking at it, but it's not really mine.
Well, that's debatable. Now, you're touring the country at the moment, aren't you?
Well, touring is a bit of exaggeration, David. At my age, I don't tour. I venture out of my little cave for a few weekends to do some concerts, and then I hustle back. I'm doing a couple of concerts in Sydney this coming weekend.
Yeah, the factory.
And then two or three concerts in Melbourne, Victoria, the following weekend. So,
and you have been in Western Australia, haven't you?
Yep. Just finished 5-6 concerts there.
Well, and that was described as a farewell tour. Is this a farewell tour?
No, really. I never try to push things as a retirement tour or farewell tour or your last chance, because in this business, especially the music business, you never know what's around the corner. I mean, I might say to people, oh, yeah, this is my last tour, and then Ed Sheeran, you know, records one of my songs, and it becomes a big hit, and Ed invites me to support him on his next tour. And I say to him, I can't do it, Ed, because I said to people, I would retire. I mean, that's a scenario that just wouldn't happen.
You're Mick Jagger's age.
Yeah, well, the little person is a bit fitter than me. I mean, apparently he still runs about 13 kilometres every concert. I mean, he can't sing, but he can run.
I saw the Stones back when they were at the Hunter Valley back, it must have been about 8 years ago. And I was amazed by the amount of energy. I was quite amazed.
Well, he's the world's best frontman. There's no doubt about that.
Now, so you're doing a concert at the Factory Theatre on Sunday. That's coming up.
Yep.
And who's your band?
Well, I've got a little trio, basically. I've got John Jones on percussion. John's from Canberra. And I've got Emma Luker on fiddle and Pete Ditchener on guitar. They're both based in Adelaide, and me doing the vocals, basically. It's going to be an interesting concert, David, because I've had a bit of health problems recently, and I've lost all strength in my left hand, and I can't play the guitar.
Well, that's a shame.
So, well, if you hear me playing the guitar, you wouldn't say that, David. Never mind. So I'm just going to concentrate on the vocals, and the band will step up and do the rest. And this is the first time in my career that I've ever tried this. So it's going to be... We had a wee rehearsal this afternoon, and it went pretty well, so I was happy about that. But this is the first time, because of this problem I've got in my hand, first time for 60 years probably, I won't be appearing on the stage with my guitar. I don't know what I'm going to do with my hands.
Is it curable?
Pardon?
Is it curable?
I don't know, to be honest. It's part of an ongoing problem. We're hopeful. I'm going to see a physiotherapist and, you know, do some medical stuff. And hopefully it'll come good. And apart from the music things, I mean, I can't lift up anything. I can't button my shirts, and, you know, it's really, really annoying.
Well, you have to wear T-shirts.
With my figure, I try not to.
Now, your music, there's a lot of melancholy and wistfulness and sadness and a lot of warmth, if that's not contradictory, but there's all of that. I started with No Man's Land, and the lyrics are so sad. And I've just had in the studio Sean McKenzie, pianist, and he said he's looking at folk music now, Australian folk, and I mentioned that you're going to be on air, and he said that when he looks at, and the band played Waltzing Matilda, he always tears up. And I think that's the feeling that people have with your lyrics. They are so powerful and so sad.
Well, yes. I mean, I'm not... They're emotional, hopefully, rather than sad, if you know what I mean. You know, life is laughter and tears. I know that's a cliche, but it's true enough. And I'd like to think my music reflects the human experience, which is not all heavy, sad stuff. grief is a part of life as joy is. So I hope across the spectrum of my songs I present both.
Well, there's this humour in your music too, and comedy. It's not just all about World War One terrible things happening.
No, no. I mean, I write my songs. The heavy stuff is written deliberately to get an emotional reaction. I mean, that's what musicians want to do. I mean, so I'm singing for a room full of strangers. I want them to react to my songs on an emotional level, hopefully on a musical level.
You're not a stranger to them.
No, I know. It's a symbiotic relationship, really. I know they're strangers, but without them, I'm nothing. And they're there for me, and I'm there for them. So I've always seen the audience performer duo as symbiotic. One needs the other desperately. So I'm trying to reach them and pull them into my world. And they're there wanting to be pulled into the world. This is the magic of live music. You know, once you've got the audience inside listening to you and reacting to what you're doing, it's a magic, magic time.
Yeah, I envy artists for that. Now, the question, are you ever going to lose your Scottish accent?
I thought I had. I thought I sounded just like the Irish dragons.
They probably tell you in Scotland that you speak like an Aussie.
Exactly. Look, I've came to Australia when I was, do some arithmetic, 25 years old. Yeah. And the accent was ingrained by that stage. And also, I found, much to my surprise and delight, that it seemed to be quite attracted to some Australian females. So I didn't try to lose it.
That soft burr, yes, gets him, doesn't it?
Well, my wife said it was one of the first things that attracted her to me was the way I spoke. And I can assure you, there was no Scottish females ever said that to me. So, yeah, I mean, I've been in Australia 55 years now. 56 this year. So I'm an Australian. This is my home. Like many migrants, I'm lucky in the fact that I have two emotional homes, really. Scotland, where I was born and raised, and Australia, where I lived, you know, I've lived for the last 55 years. But when people say to me, are you going home? When other Scots say to me, have you been home recently? I say, well, I am home.
Adelaide.
This is my home. Scotland is a home in another time, in another place, in another person, you know, and still full of beautiful and fond memories. But when I think of home, this is where it is.
Well, we're going to finish with a song, but I have to play this song, Eric. In 2001, the Australian Performing Rights Association, APRA, named, and the band played Waltzing Matilda, one of the top 30 Australian songs of all time. Mm. There wouldn't be many who would disagree with that. And now, the song, of course, is sad, but it's a wonderful song. A big Turkish shell knocked me arse over head. And when I woke up in me hospital bed and saw what it had done, well, I wished I was dead. Never knew that there was worse thing than dying.
Mm. Well, that's an actual quote, not a word for word, from a veteran from World War One, from France, not from Gallipoli.
Okay.
Who, when he found this particular book, I read his story, had lost part of his leg and his two arms. And when he woke up and found all this, he thought, I wish I was dead. Didn't think there was worse things than being dead, but I feel that now. He went on to be, of course, once he reacted to the circumstances and adopted, which human beings do, he went on to lead a fairly full life. But yeah, I mean, just imagine a young man full of vigor and fitness and piss and vinegar, and then he wakes up half a man. Because we tend to still think of complete human beings as people with, you know, the full complement of limbs, whereas, of course, a human being lives a lot deeper in his body, you know. In the heart and the soul is where we live. And if that's not destroyed, if that's not hurt, then we have a chance to live our lives as complete human beings and adapt to the fact we don't have this foot or this limb or whatever, you know.
Mm. Eric, it's been lovely talking to you. The song has been covered by many artists, including the Pogues, who did a really good version of it, I think, and Joan Baez, among others. But thanks so much for coming on air. And this is, if, I don't know if you'd like to introduce it, the band played What's in Matilda?
This is a song I wrote in 1971 in Canberra after I saw my very first Anzac Day march. And the song is called, and the band played Waltzing Matilda.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now when I was a young man, I carried me pack, and I lived the free life on the rover. From the Murray's green basin to the dusty outback, well, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, my country said, son, it's time you stop rambling, there's work to be done. So they gave me a tin hat and they gave me a gun. And they marched me away to the war. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as the ship pulled away from the quay. And amidst all the cheers, the flag waving and tears, we sailed off for Gallipoli. And how well I remember that terrible day, how our blood stained the sand and the water, and of how in that hell that they called Suvla Bay, we were butchered like lambs at the slaughter. Johnny Turk, he was waiting, he'd primed himself well. He showered us with bullets and he rained us with shell. And in 5 minutes flat, he'd blown us all to hell. Nearly blew us right back to Australia. But the band played Waltzing Matilda when we stopped to bury our slain. We buried ours and the Turks buried theirs. Then we started all over again. And those that were left, well, we tried to survive in that mad world of blood, death and fire. And for 10 weary weeks I kept myself alive, though around me the corpses piled higher. Then a big Turkish shell knocked me arse overhead, and when I woke up in me hospital bed and saw what it had done, well, I wished I was dead. Never knew there was worse things than dying, for I'll go no more waltzing Matilda. All around the green bush far and free, to hum tents and pegs, a man needs both legs. No more waltzing Matilda for me. So they gathered the crippled, the wounded, the maimed,
and they shipped us back home to Australia. The legless, the armless, the blind, the insane, those proud wounded heroes of Suvla. And as our ship pulled into Circular Quay, I looked at the place where me legs used to be, and thank Christ there was nobody waiting for me. To grieve, to mourn, and to pity. But the band played Waltzing Matilda as they carried us down the gangway. But nobody cheered, they just stood and stared. Then they turned all their faces away. And so now, every April, I sit on me porch and I watch the parade pass before me. And I see my old comrades, how proudly they march, reviving old dreams of past glories. And the old men march slowly, all bones stiff and sore. They're tired old heroes from a forgotten war. And the young people ask, what are they marching for? And I ask myself the same question. But the band plays Waltzing Matilda, and the old men still answer the call. But as year follows year, more old men disappear. Someday no one will march there at all. Waltzing Matilda, Waltzing Matilda, who'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me? And their ghosts may be heard as they march by that billabong. Who'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me?
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.